Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Athletic Hockey Show.
Hey everybody, it's Craig Custance, the Tuesday co-host of the Athletic Hockey Show, joined occasionally by Sean Gentile. Sean, what a show we have today. How are you?
Hey, I have a question for you. Have you gone to any weddings lately?
Are they playing that ad still?
Oh, it seems like the odds are good.
Hey, breaking news, everyone. If you've heard that ad read, I'd like to apologize. I didn't know that would be shared on other podcasts. But, you know, I'm a big believer in whatever the ad's for. The second thing I would like to say is I have been invited to a wedding since that recorded. I don't think it's a coincidence. It's a colleague of ours at The Athletic. I don't want to name names because I don't know if he wants his stuff out there, but it's a wedding I'm looking forward to very much. And we can stop running that ad.
It's a wedding I'm looking forward to as well. I will be in attendance in addition to you.
Okay.
That's right.
We have a great show today. Brianna Decker joins us, the recently retired Brianna Decker, and she was great. We've already recorded
it. She was so good.
Segment two. Just from start to finish, she was awesome, and I'm glad we did it. Producer Jeff hooked it up. We had to delay it a week. She's just got a lot going on. She's now coaching at Shaddix, and she's about to embark on a 15-hour bus ride to Dallas. Like, she is living the coach's life now. She's now advising PHF, hired by Reagan Carey. There, we get into that. Just an awesome conversation all around. That was fun.
Best player in the women's game. On and off, I think, for a few years there. It's a, I don't know, it's a blast to see her move on to the next phase and really seem like she's enjoying herself, you know, because that was such a brutal, I mean, we all saw what happened at the Olympics, heartbreaking, also just stomach churning stuff. It was just one of those injuries where your heart drops when you watch it, right? But she's feeling good and she's psyched about what comes next. I mean, it was a blast to talk to her.
Man, it would have been like, if that happened to me, I'd still be bitter about it. I sensed no bitterness. I mean, if she had any, she seemed to work through it. She seemed like pretty excited about what's happening. So that was.
I think it's easy. It's easy to cut back on the bitterness when you enjoy what you're doing as much as she does, and that's the work she's doing with Shattuck, and it's the work that she's doing with the PHF. I mean, she sounds fulfilled, and it was a fun conversation.
So before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about the Eastern Conference, both the playoff race that's shaping up. And, you know, I think because Tarek wrote about the Capitals a little bit today, about some off seasons that are going to be interesting, because there was a point, I think, where we were like, hey, the whole playoffs, we basically know the matchups. You know what I mean? And now it's right. I think it's interesting because of what I think mainly what's happening with Florida. Like, we talked a little last week about it, but it's been a bit of a tailspin.
Yeah, we've seen them kind of cycle in and out over the last couple of weeks, right? They were the riser. It felt like going back, say, maybe after the holidays, like in January, that if someone in the East wanted to make a run, it was going to be possible, right? Like if there were a team outside of the picture, as in not Pittsburgh and not the Islanders, if it were the Panthers who started slow, if it were maybe this, whatever, that somebody if they got their shit together in time, was going to be able to make a run. And the Panthers were always going to be the easiest choice there because they were fantastic last year. Their underlings all season have been great. Sergei Bobrovsky has, like, you know, was on a pretty decent streak there as well. All the things that had kind of contributed to them starting slowly were sort of fixed. And of course, they made the charge, right? They were in the second wild card spot last week. Well, here we are. It is the morning of Tuesday, March 28th. They've gotten 0 points in their last four games. In those, obviously lost all four of those. In those games, their expected goals percentage is down below 45%. Their playoff chances, according to Dom's model, have dropped all the way down to, I believe, 21% this morning. They were 60 in the 60s last week. Part of that's because Pittsburgh has, you know, scraped some points together, and same goes for the Islanders. But a lot of this has to do with the Panthers going well and truly in the tank. I wonder if anything's happened over the last week that we could attribute that to. And I'm going to do it, whether it's reckless or not. They're 0-3 and have played like hell since the Pride night catastrophe with the Stars refusing to wear the jerseys. So we can blame that. I certainly am.
Do you think there's anything, like, just besides karma? Do you think
karma?
Do you think,
yeah,
it's like this becomes a distraction.
Karma is enough for me. I think that's the funniest. Yeah. I think that's the funniest part of all this stuff is if you look at guys like the Stalls or Jim, whatever, and anybody who makes a choice like this, it always, more often than not, the teams themselves who have pulled plugs on full team, you know, engagement here early in the days. These are all guys who are just allergic, who have spent the last 10, 20, 30 years of their lives, like, I don't want to be a distraction. I don't want to be a distraction. And they go out and create.
I mean, that has been
the biggest one.
Just built in, do not be a distraction at all.
Like, yeah. That's except
rule number one. Except for
when you're wearing, you know, a Pride jersey and enters the picture. So it's funny. I think it's funny.
Also, to pile on, Brooks Koepka.
What is Panthers what a
fan?
Week.
Is he not a Panthers fan? What
All right.
A week. So if you haven't watched,
yeah,
let me just bring the listener, dear listener, up to speed here. If you haven't seen the video clip, Brooks Koepka appears to be calling Aaron Ekblad a traffic cone. And we know this because he has an actual traffic cone in his hand.
Got as he's talking. Questions.
Aaron, I have a lot of questions about this. And I think we're only 99% sure it's Brooks Koepka, golfer. But
I think
it seems that's been confirmed elsewhere.
We can never be 100% sure of anything. By Brooks Koepka's Instagram page, which had a photo of him in the box wearing the same outfit to the Panthers game 2 days ago that he appeared to be wearing when he was screaming
on Instagram.
There was no visible traffic cone, but it was him and all his boys wearing track suits. I don't know if you picked up on that part of the video. Did you notice that? They were all wearing like Adidas track suits without undershirts underneath. So they're doing some kind of goofball, you know, theme boys night out thing. What did Aaron Ekblad
with our athletic hoodies, yeah, by right? The way, right? I know. With our matching, this is our 2022 Christmas gift, holiday gift. But go ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam and Alex in New York Times.
And Craig.
Owner
what
of
did, what did Aaron Ekblad do to Brooks Koepka? Is the
I have a theory
is my
this.
Big question.
I think they're friends. I'm gonna say they're friends. You're saying no. I bet you they're in, like, if let's say theoretically we were friends. We have to make that leap. And number two, you were a defenseman in the NHL and I was a professional golfer. So let's play this out. I would not go to cheer you on. I would go to the game to give you a hard time. And I'd probably bring a traffic cone. It's the only explanation for this. That why I else would he, where do you I, get a traffic I, cone?
There is absolutely another explanation for this.
Oh, okay.
Take a look at Brooks. Like, what do you think Brooks, first off, whatever, what do you think he was doing all day? He's out with his boys in a box at an NHL game.
golfing.
Right? I would imagine some beverages or you know, refreshments had been served.
Okay.
And Brooks Koepka is a dick. He is.
Oh, is this?
He picks fights. Oh, yeah. He picks fight. Like whatever. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, as far as Bryson DeChambeau is concerned. But like, this guy has had no problem dragging people publicly on camera in the past. And it's not guys who he likes. I'll say that much. This dude has a record of going after people who bother him publicly. He's not like busting chops with a dude that he likes. If the shoe is on the other foot and I were an NHL defenseman and I looked up into a luxury box and saw you tell me I effing suck pointing at the traffic cone in a game that I was losing in a season where I was struggling profoundly as Aaron Ekblad
it hasn't been a great season.
Buddy, I don't think that was fun, and I don't think that was friendly banter.
I would be having a ball in this scenario.
Brooks Koepka is from West Palm Beach. Like, he's a local. He's from Florida. This dude is. My question was like, okay, is he from California, or is he from is it possible that he's just like was a fan of whatever other team was coming through, and he wanted to go and take shots at the enemy? No, this dude is from South Florida, and he goes to a lot of Panthers games. I think he's just fed up with Aaron Ekblad and, you know, is expressing it in a very specifically Brooks Koepka kind of way.
Here's the only problem with this, if you're Brooks Koepka. I don't know how. So let's say you're right and I'm wrong, which is possible. Sure. Like, he's just a diehard Panthers fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I apologize. We're spending way too much on this. Let's say he is a diehard Panthers fan who's just frustrated, and he's taking it. I had a few beers, and he's taking it out. He brought the traffic cone through security somehow, or maybe it was sitting in the. It'd be pretty sloppy if they kept traffic cones just sitting in the concourse. Brooks Koepka, for whatever it's worth, I don't think he's golfing that well right now. Like, I don't think he's won anything.
No.
So aren't you setting yourself up for Ekblad to come like full Happy Gilmore taunting at the next tournament?
Yeah.
I would. If I'm Aaron Ekblad, I'm getting my buddies. We're throwing on some track suits and we're going to the Masters or whatever.
He's not going to be in the Masters. He's a LIV Tour guy. That's the other funny part of this.
We're going to the whatever the LIV Tour plays.
Yeah, going to Saudi Arabia and watching a golf tournament there so we can rag on Brooks Koepka.
I mean,
I'd love to. Aaron Ekblad has friends out there, man. Someone needs to write this situation. I think Ekblad, though, you look at why the Panthers are where they are. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, you know, it's part and parcel with the way their season has gone, right? Like, things aren't working out for him. They haven't been able to have success really for any sustained period of time. It's not, obviously not all his fault, but the results haven't been there. It's been up and down really throughout the course of the season. And just when you think that they were, you know, really making a run and going to seize on the fact that the Penguins and the Islanders aren't that good, you know, they go back into kind of a tailspin. And, you know, like I said, we wake up here, it's Tuesday morning, and their playoff odds, according to Dom, are down in the low 20s after they're almost cut in third compared to where they were last week. It's wild.
My Islanders keep on trucking. All right, we didn't leave any time to talk about the Capitals, which I wanted to. So 30 seconds are left. I think Peter Laviolette's an interesting one. Doesn't seem like he's back, eh? You know what I mean?
I think that was part of what Tarek's written about it. Pierre wrote about it yesterday in kind of an assessment on what's going to happen with the coaches whose deals are up this year and next. No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel like he's going to be back. It feels like they're moving into some next phase of their organization. I think it was a quasi predictable, because Laviolette started the season without a contract. And anytime that happens with any coach, you know, you got to wonder if the writing's on the wall there, right? I know Brian McClellan is a guy you've spent a lot of time around. Like, I don't know, do you have anything to say? Is there any insight there into his process as far as this is concerned?
Well, he's very thoughtful, I would say. and isn't going to do anything rash, and we'll play this out. But he's also not afraid, as we saw at the trade deadline, to be very decisive and make tough decisions. So I don't know if you're letting him play through the last year of his or coach through the last year of his contract, and then this season hasn't been great. Like what were you looking for to you know, give an extension, right? If you're Brian McClellan, probably not whatever's happened. So, and you know, it's not Peter Laviolette's fault that the team has gone into the tank when they were, you know, Brian McClellan had to do what he had to do with the trade deadline, which I thought was
it's nobody's fault. Yeah. It's not Brian McClellan's fault either. That was a necessary move. If you have guys who, you know, financially or otherwise don't figure into your plans for the future, right? You move those guys and you reload. And I thought I know Rasmus Sandin, you know, he's racking up points, been a little bit of a mixed bag since he's been in the lineup there, mm-hmm. but you take him in the lineup long-term 10 times out of 10, if that's a move you can make for a win-now team. So yeah, it's a tough look maybe for the organization overall, but I don't know. They'll be better off for it. But they have well and truly gone in the tank. All that being said, you know, we can gas up McClellan and whatever we should. That team is done, and they have been for a couple weeks, really.
And you know, it's a trope or whatever. But Peter Laviolette's a guy, you know, I guess shelf life. I hate that term with coach, but I think that's probably a real thing with Peter Laviolette. Like, he's very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he's a hard ass.
It just seems like a natural opportunity to turn the page with whatever comes next in Washington, but we'll see.
It's finding that balance between, you know, trying to maximize the next couple years with Ovechkin and also addressing issues as they pop up, right? Like, it's a tough line for McClellan to walk, and I think this seems like that's the next part of it for sure.
Brianna Decker joins us in the next segment, talking retirement, talking about reframing goals. She's a very goal-oriented person, as I imagine most Olympic gold medalists are. It was a great listen, and we'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are now thrilled to be joined by, how do we even describe Brianna? Olympic gold medalist, of course, first and foremost, most importantly. Recently retired, though, which is, we want to get into that a little bit. And now a coach, which I love. Brianna Decker joins the podcast. Brianna, thanks for doing this. I know you've been busy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, you guys. Yeah.
Well, first of all, congratulations on, everything. I know we sometimes get people on here. We had Ryan Miller, he was going through a victory tour, and he was actually able to like savor the tour. It seems like you're just like diving into work. What has it been like as the news kind of circulated about your retirement and your next steps?
Yeah. The good thing is about diving into work right away, or work, I would say, coaching. I think, it distracted me from playing a little bit. So I think the transition was a lot easier for me, but, it was kind of surreal to actually say like, hey, I'm retiring from actually playing. It was, a little bit emotional. When I actually had to say it, I kind of had my mind wrapped around it a little bit for a couple months, but I really wanted to make sure I was making the right decision for myself. And, you know, kind of also a little bit for my family too. I think that was the hard part, was my family's like, oh, don't hang them up. Like, you can still play another 4 years. But, you know, for me, I think I was just, the timing was right. And coaching right away at Shattuck has been a great fit, and I'm enjoying it. And I'm finding a passion within coaching that I had found when I was playing.
How do you convince your family that that's the right call for you? Are you like, no,
I'm not sure we're convinced, to be honest. I'm in the four more years camp. I was going to bring out a sign and a chant.
Okay. I think with my family, it's like, well, first off, I mean, think about it. Like, they've been able to go to some amazing places around the world. And my brother's like, one of my brothers is like, come on, like, train for Italy, you know? And I'm like, You can just go on vacation.
You don't have to follow me around.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I'm like, why do I need to continue to train? I mean, you know, like my younger brother played, he ended up playing D3 hockey. So he kind of, from a commitment of working hard, working out every single day aspect, like obviously it's a little different from an Olympic standpoint, but you're still training for something. So he understands, like, I get it. Like you are, you know, you put a lot of work in. So when they look back and they like look at how much work I put in, they understand. But I think they're just like, oh, you still have a more in yet. I'm like, you know, maybe, but I'm in the right spot right now. I'm in the right mindset of where I want to be.
How is your leg? Like, how are you feeling physically?
Yeah, good. I would say, I had surgery last February. I didn't feel great until like maybe November. It took like a while for me to like not feel it at all. And then of course, cold Minnesota winters, I was like, man, why is my leg so achy and swollen?
Cause I have an idea.
A plate and screws and stuff in there. So makes sense, but it's feeling pretty good. I mean, I would say like even coaching when I'm on the ice, I'll get a puck off the skate and it like kind of ricochets up. So it kind of does, it bothers me a little bit. So that was probably about 30% of one of the reasons why I was like, I think this is just like a good time.
So you said you put coaching in air quotes or working in air quotes when it came to coaching. Yeah. So is it still very much fun for you or like, what's that been like for you?
Yeah. Like I don't even view it as work because I enjoy it so much. Like these kids are elite. They have an opportunity to, a lot of them are going D1. We have a couple girls going D3 next year. And it's just, it's amazing to see their commitment and their passion for it. And I was like, I kind of see myself in those same shoes. I mean, I think it's different, you know, me having the opportunity to come back to a place where I went to school for 4 years. And so it's just, I have that drive to like get them to the next level. And I have a lot of fun with them. They make me laugh. Of course, I'm serious and stern at times, but I want to get the most out of them every single day with some laughs behind it.
So this is your first season with Shattuck, right? You wouldn't have had much time to work with them in any kind of official capacity. When did that kind of hit your radar? Like when were you like, this is we know you went there, but when did that turn into a real thing where you're like, I want to go back and I want this to be a big part of, you know, what comes next?
Yeah. So, well, about like 4 years, it was after the 2018 Olympics. Coach Stafford, Gordy Stafford here at Shattuck, he's been running the girls program for over 17 years now. He told me, he's like, hey, I want you to come back and work. I'm like, Gordy, like I gotta focus on training. I'm training right now and it's too hard for me to double dip. And so he's like, all right. So I'm not kidding. I get back from breaking my leg at the Olympics on February like 21st, 22nd. And I get a phone call in the hotel bed before surgery the next day. And it was Gordy. He's like, so what do you think? I'm like, can you give me a second to breathe here? But like, he's also like, he's like a dad to me though. Like we have a really great relationship. So, you know, it wasn't exactly how it sounds, but I was like, he goes, well, the reason I'm calling is I know you're going to be on bed rest for about 2 weeks. And I figured you could think about it for 2 weeks. I was like, yeah, you're right. So I, you know, when he called me, I was like, this is going to be the right setup for me. Honestly, the lifestyle is amazing as far as like, you know, we get breaks with school, we get summers kind of off a little bit more. So from a life work balance, it's like, it's incredible. And I think, you know, just like I said, I'm around genuine people who really care about getting these kids to the next level.
We talked before you started recording. I mean, you gotta like these people. You're about to be on a bus with them for 15 hours driving from school to Dallas for nationals, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm glad I have headphones too, right, for the bus. But the kids are great. Yeah, and you know, I think, like I said, like they have the right mindset as far as getting to that next level, but then also. You know what? They're kids. They make mistakes. But it's fun to be able to use my experiences that I've had, whether it was at prep school, college, national team, to kind of help them navigate through some of this stuff and help develop them.
So I remember having a conversation once with Florence Schelling, the Swiss goalie back in the day.
Yeah.
And she
Northeastern.
Northeastern. You know. And she had a terrible ski accident. And she said it was that time recovering in bed that I just thought of that when you were talking about bed rest, that really kind of transformed her mentally into what she was going to do next. And it ended up being this moment in time that she, I think, felt was beneficial in terms of hitting. You're so goal driven and you're so as an elite athlete. So, you know, working towards the next thing in training, you don't take those breaks. So I was just curious when you said you had that stretch where you're in bed, like did that, what was going through your mind and how much did that kind of shape your future?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Florence can say that. I mean, her ski accident was crazy. I remember that. But she, I would break my leg three times over before I had to go through what she went through. But, you know, I think for me, I was at my like lowest moment as an athlete coming back from the Olympics, not being able to play, getting hurt there. Being on bed rest, I couldn't put any weight on my leg. So I think for me, it was, a lot of reflection time. And deciding what I wanted to do. But I know I was really open to coming back and playing. And I was like, at the end of the day, I was like, my goal, again, like I'm super goal oriented, and that's exactly how a lot of elite athletes are. So it's like my goal at that point was like, all right, I want to be running by June 1st. And I was able to accomplish that. And then after that, I was kind of like, okay, now what should I really dive into coaching? And I'd already told Shattuck I was coming back, but I was like, hey, I'm not deciding if I'm done playing yet. I want to kind of give it a full year. But your mind is a crazy powerful thing. And so when I was sitting there for 2 weeks, my mind was going through everything as far as like, am I ready to be done? Am I not? And I just leaned on my family for a lot of things and friends obviously as well.
Was there any, was there a moment that tipped you over into deciding that it was time to like really transition and into the next phase of things? Like, was it just coming back and not feeling like, how do you make that decision? Cause I know that's tough. And I know like when, especially athletes as elite as you, the question becomes like, am I okay coming back if I'm a lesser version on ice of the player I was before? Like, how do you decide to be done basically?
Yeah, that was one thing. I was like, I didn't feel ready to come back as far as like injury wise for a while. There's one thing that, you know, I realized throughout the summer and then starting up here in the fall is like my stress levels went like way down. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how much stress I put on myself to be one of the best players every single camp, to want to be the best player every camp, to make the biggest impact on my team as much as possible. It's like, I didn't realize that stuff until I didn't do it and didn't prepare for the camp that was going on in August, after the Olympics. So when I came to school to work, I was like, in coach, I was like, man, I've been like mentally, I just feel so like relieved. And I was like that, I'm like, okay, that moment of like, that might be it of like, okay, this is time to move on to the next thing.
It's interesting. I think of how much the sport has changed in, you know, the years since you were a 14-year-old or whatever, going to Shattuck's, to the kids you're coaching now. What do you see that is the same, and what do you see that's different with the group?
Oh, I'll start with different. I think, first off, these kids are like, from a skill level, strictly skilled, these kids are way more skilled, I think, than when we were here. Now, from the simplistic aspect of hockey, of chipping the puck, or going at it and getting work done, competing. I would say they don't have that as much. So I'm coming back here and I'm like trying to teach them like, guys, a simple chip is what's going to make the best play here. You going and battling in the corner is what's going to cough the puck up. And then that's how we're going to have more offensive opportunities.
Well, you are all in on the coaching side.
I love this. This is grit coach.
Transition has happened. Holy cow.
Grit coach Decker. Let's go. Yeah,
so, okay. But my mind did work like this as a player, but it just made me a little faster, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's like the biggest difference is like how skilled they are. Like they're more skilled than we were, but like from the like compete and like hardworking mentality, I like to call it like the blue collar like work mentality, they don't have that as much. It's not as instilled. You gotta find drills to like make them do that stuff.
That's great
What, so kind of, okay, man, okay, go, no, go ahead.
No. So it's funny, I love like that, you know, that point in your life, and you're making so many decisions, and you're guiding all these players through that, and you know where they're going to go to college and all that. And I remember reading one time you wrote a letter to yourself, and I love that concept as a kid. You open it up whenever, and it's, you're getting guidance. Can you tell that story or share what was in that letter?
Yeah. So it was a unique thing that one of our fourth grade teachers did at the elementary school I went to from in Dousman. They had us write a letter to ourselves in fourth grade, you know, whatever you want to be when you grow up, where do you want to go? And then you get it as a senior. And like, I mean, when you're a fourth grader, you're like, okay, I'm never going to get this letter back. And I got it back. Like I went to my parents' house, right? So I open it up when I'm a senior and it said, like, at the end of it says, I want to go to the, play for the University of Wisconsin Badgers. Wow. And I want to be a dentist. And I'm like, okay, the dentist thing didn't work out.
You won, for two though. Yeah,
50%. Yeah.
I was like, this is awesome. So, I mean, like it's a really cool aspect of like how they did things with that. But I'm like, again, like goal setting mm-hmm. for the biggest future. I mean, you know how many young kids too want to be like, oh, I want to play for whatever Chicago Blackhawks, but it's like it's super cool when that ends up happening. So.
It came true for you. When I was in fourth grade, I think I wanted to be the shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates and also an astronaut. Mm-hmm. And I was.
How'd that go?
Oh, yeah, not great. I host a podcast with Craig. So you tell me.
Well,
yeah, there you go. Well, you really underdid yourself there. Yeah.
So my fourth grade, it was actually a letter to myself said I want to have a podcast with Sean in the year 2020.
I don't know what a podcast.
Way to hit it.
Can I ask about goal setting? Because not like it seems as a player, goal setting is almost easier. Not easier in terms of accomplishing it, but easier in terms of setting it. Now that you're kind of embarking, you know, we'll get to maybe some of the PHF stuff next, but like you're embarking on a completely different part of your life. What do those goals look like? How specific are they when you sit down and do them?
Well, it's funny because, so when I first announced my retirement, kind of my family, my brother's like, all right, congrats, great career. Now it's time to do all those things you did as a player, as a coach. And I'm like, okay.
So he's setting the goals. Like, I like that.
So I'm like those. Yeah, exactly. Probably want to travel again. Yeah. But I think those are like my, you know, I would love to be successful as a coach as much as I was as a player, as far as like winning and being like all that. Those are like big long term goals. I think as a coach on an everyday basis, I would say I want to be able to change these kids in some aspect. I want them to learn something every single day, you know, and I'm coaching with Gordy Stafford here. His mind is incredible. And like I said, he impacted me and he was probably the most impactful coach I had. And I want to be able to do that to these kids. And so that is a goal of mine. And then, you know, I think I want to continue to just like show these kids that team really matters the most. And I look at my career. I mean, I was on teams that we had probably the most talent, but we didn't win at the end of the day. And it's like vice versa. We have teams that, you know, people just understand their roles and get things done. And so it's like, those are the goal settings. I think it's definitely different because it's a little bit more out of your control, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're going to have different kids every year. You know, and some kids are going through stuff on a weekly basis. Some kids don't go through as much adversity, but it's like a matter of impacting them and guiding them. Those are like just the goals for the week. And now it's like this next week, we have nationals coming up and our goal is obviously to win this end of the year tournament.
Do you ever find yourself like having the impulse to remind, like if the kids are being kids and maybe not listening to you, is there ever the impulse to like send them to your Wikipedia page or something, or be like, all right, listen, I was like, seriously, like,
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Like, yeah. I've done XYZ because they're kids and they need that. They need that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we've had like definitely had moments. When I had the opportunity to coach at U18 Worlds again this year for the US team, I came back and I was like, guys, these are the lessons that I think you need to grasp when, you know, when you're going through your journey, like making sure that, you know, that you're like taking care of business, being selfless, working hard. But like, it's like all these, when I went there, I just learned a lot. And I come back and these kids do, they're like, okay. And I go, and the one thing I said was like, just listen to your coaches. Like, we know what we're talking about. Like, and they're like, well, we know. And it's like, no, but like, sometimes you guys just don't listen. And then I'm like, the guys coaches here at Shattuck are incredible. The amount of experience that they have, like Tom Ward has been around the team forever. He's coaching the NHL. He's come back. And it's like, those guys, like, I'm listening to them because I'm like, I'm soaking up everything I can. And it's like having an open mind is like what's so important.
So I wanted to ask you about Reagan Carey and her kind of pitch to get you involved with the PHF. You know, I don't pretend to understand the complications between the, you know, I guess two sides or however you want to say
yeah,
it.
No, I don't have to.
Like, I know there's way more than we know or whatever, but like, what was, I mean, you've known Reagan a long time, so I'm sure, you know, she didn't have to convince you that she knows what she's talking about, but what was that conversation like?
Yeah, I mean, like she had so much success within our U.S. program. She changed it around from when I kind of entered the pool in 2010 to 2018. I mean, and she, the one thing I really respect about her is that as much as she is like cultural driven, she's very business driven too. And like, so she's kind of got that good balance between the two. And the cultural piece matters most to her. But she is a driven person where she doesn't want anything like fail. So I mean, I was involved with, I played for every pro league. So I'm the right person to talk to, I guess. But, you know, playing in the NWHL and then going back and then playing for the PWHPA and being involved with that as a player. And in the spring, you know, Reagan kind of called me up and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of at a standstill with the PWHPA because I hadn't been like, I feel like I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't a voice. And, you know, part of that, I'll be honest, like part of that's probably on me and not getting involved in all that stuff. But I was kind of, sadly, kind of worn out with how everything had been. So when Reagan asked me to come back, I was like, you know, work for me. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'll do what I can. And she understood that, you know, like my full-time job was being here, but I'm like, I'll try to help out in any certain way. And so if she did, again, she didn't take much convincing, but, I just look at that this league is only going to continue to rise above and continue to get better and get more money behind, these players to play.
And it sounds like you're a bit of a sounding board for the players, right? You can be that connection. What are some of the conversations or concerns they have, or what are those, you know, what does that mean as a sounding board?
Yeah, it's mostly concerns. It's like, that's the one thing when I was playing in any of the pro leagues I played in, NWHL, PWHPA, or CWHL, when that was around, like all of them lacked a little bit of structure. Like whether it was like, because I mean, some of these people, and coaches, like it wasn't a full-time job for them because we, you know, they're not getting paid that. So it's like, if a coach shows up to late practice, it's like, for us, we're like, well, what the hell? And then for, you know, the coaches, they're like, well, I'm sorry, I had to drop my kid off at daycare or pick him up or like whatever, I just got out of work. Like, it's like reality. And so, but as players, it's like, hey, we signed up for this, and like this is what we're we expect, kind of the best, you know. And so now I'm kind of that sounding board for if there is concerns about practice structure, if there's concerns about training and you know, workout space, and whether it's players or coaches that need to talk to me about things that could be different, I do the best that I can for those teams and those players. You know, I think though I've had some good conversations with them, and it's like at the end of the day, it's like all these conversations evolve, like are around how can we make this league bigger and better so that when these college kids come up the next couple of years, it's more professional than ever.
How much thought is put into what the PHF will look like 2 years down the line or 3 years down the line when, you know, the assumption is that there will be another league, you know, the PWHPA league, whatever form that takes.
I mean, I still to this day, like we need to have one league. I mean, imagine there's two NHLs or whatever. It's like, it would just be tough. And I look at how strong rooted that like WNBA is. And I think, you know, it's like, we need to have something like that. You know, so rather we combine or figure something out, I think that would be the best thing. But as far as like I said, Reagan is such a, her vision on things is future too. That's what she did so well with our U.S. team. And so, I think it's just like her figuring out that stuff and just guiding us, you know, representatives and director of ops people who are with her, you know, we're just going to do whatever it takes to get that to like a more professional and, you know, great atmosphere for these players.
All right. Last thing for me, you're going on a, what would we say? 15-hour bus ride. Are you a movie watcher, podcast listener, books? Like what is your, like either to improve or get better or just entertain yourself on something like that? What's your strategy?
Yeah. I think the one good thing is that we're busing overnight. So
sleep.
Hopefully sleep. But you know what? I have realized as I've gotten older, it's super like more
it's,
uncomfortable.
It gets worse,
so, but I definitely, yeah, it gets worse. I know it does. But so, but I'm going to, I'll probably put a show on of some sort. But I got to find a good one in the next, probably, you know, 7-8 hours.
Sean's your man. Sean, I always go to Sean for Rex. I'm watching whatever that Apple TV the with Harrison Ford and their therapists. Have you watched?
Yeah, with that Harrison Ford and Jason Segel.
It's really good. It's really good. Shrink
I don't know.
Shrinking. Shrinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really like it's got a lot of heart. Anyways, that's my rec.
I don't know. Yeah. I was about to rec Yellow Jackets because it's a Showtime show that just started their second season. But it's about it's about a soccer team that gets into a plane crash on their way to national. So I was not trying to be a smartass there. I almost said it just because it's a great, really entertaining yourself, show that just started its second season, and I'm like, that can't be
Ted Lasso. Or you could watch season 3 of Ted Lasso.
Great British. Maybe I'll start with that, and then when that happens,
just watch Great British Bake Off. Just like knock out a couple seasons of that. That'll be fun and light and chill. Yeah,
mindless. Yeah.
Well. Gosh, Brianna, thank you for joining us. And thanks.
Yes.
Congratulations again on all the accomplishments. We know you're not done. We know you're going to set goals and probably be running that program and winning championships or whatever it is. So it's exciting to see what's next. And we appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you both. Yeah, thank you.
That was a great conversation with Brianna Decker, at least until Sean made his, recommendation on what she should watch. Aside from that, I thought that was really, really a great chat.
It was one of those things where I thought of it and was about to say it out loud, and it was such a stupid. I had to share it. Like it was such a bad call that I had to share it with the class.
No, I admire that, but
what am I gonna do?
I don't know. She couldn't have gotten off that Zoom faster, I think, after that.
But it's not. Don't say that. That's not true.
Wish them well in their tournament. Safe travels. Coming up next is our third segment, the only good segment on the show. Can't say that anymore, though. Second segment, I think, is emerged. But we'll be right back. It's great. It's when we take your question, you the listener, and read them for the first time and respond to them. We'll be right back.
No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. Whether you're sending emails or writing a Slack message, the last thing you want is a grammatical error. It just looks unprofessional. Just a little bit of help from Grammarly can make a big impact on your work day to day. 96% of Grammarly users report that Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. It works across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, tone suggestions help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. Save time with one click and go from editing drafts in hours to seconds. 93% of professionals using Grammarly Premium report that it helps them get more work done. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
This is the only good segment on the show. It's when we take comments and questions and remarks from the very loud squirrel that is outside my window right now that completely just distracted me. This dude was about to, felt like he was about to come through the window. But yeah, go to the comments section, ask us things, tell us things, do our jobs for us. It's remarkable how many, like, were you surprised me to see people actually find this for the first time after?
I'm always surprised. Every time. So the way we do this is we record the earlier segments and then we both open the app at the same time to see if there's any comments. And I'm always prepared to like
for the plan D
when there's no comments. Yeah. Where people just are like, we're not doing this. This is the weekly thank you to everybody who goes. And to get a question into the segment, you have to download the Athletic app, which I'm sure you all have at this point.
Did you know that we're running a special? It's $1 for a month for a year. Did you know that was happening?
For like two more days. Better hurry up if you want that deal. Download the app. Then you go to... You got to click on the listen tab, and then you got to find the Athletic Hockey Show. Then you have to know who our previous week's guest was.
Right.
Or our latest guest was. In this case, it was Katie Strang. If you didn't listen to that episode, she was great talking about the Harvard hazing story. And then you have to, I think, click details, comment. I don't know. There's like three more steps.
Craig, you download the app. Here. You tap on the listen.
Mm-hmm.
You find the Athletic Hockey Show. You scroll down, as you said, and then click on details. Yes. And then after you click on details, you click on comments. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little box at the bottom where you can write.
Mike H. says, wow, this was exactly as hard to find as promised. Anyway, I'm only here to post my quote unquote joke about hashtag Tuesday Boys with 3 Z's. Only he spelled out Z's.
That's very funny.
And was corrected. Yeah, thanks for joining us, Mike H. And that is an incorrect hashtag. I also don't, for the record, I don't endorse the Tuesday Boys with 3 Z's hashtag.
I
don't use it.
Guess what?
I think I don't like Z's as like a, if you want to, like, I hate like businesses that like, it's like kids are KIDDZ. Like, why do we do
cars
that to spell
kids
things correctly? Yeah, like, don't do it. It really bothers me. Spell things
the right way,
everybody.
We found the thing that really really bothers
this
you.
This is it.
Also, yeah, this is it. Also, Cars for Kids does not use a Z. You
familiar with that? Of course they don't, because they're probably a great organization that's doing great things.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids.
Oh, it's 1-877
Cars for Kids.
Just spell it CARS.
Create your car. Donate your car today.
K is even worse. The K
is
even worse.
Lots of problems with that letter. Yeah. Got to limit the number of K's you use in your business name.
Sometimes businesses don't. And I'm like, just spell things the right way if you're opening a business. If you think it's clever or funny or memorable to spell it with a K or a Z, it's not. It just, God, it really bothers me.
I'm the way with puns. I'm that way with puns. I know people love joking about puns on Twitter or whatever, and it's like, oh, haha, you know, isn't this funny because it's such a bad pun? Or spoonerisms when you flip the initials, where it's like, you can't do it. A spoonerism.
What?
Okay, I'm informing you of something today, I guess. It's when you
like
take
Ryan Spooner?
Ryan Spoonerism, Natalie Spoonerism, yes. It's when you take the first initials of two words and split them. So it doesn't work with your name because your name's alliterative. But like Jeff Domet becomes Def Jomet.
Oh, that made me cringe. Yeah, I don't like that either.
People think they're funny.
Who does that? Nobody.
It's a Twitter thing. It's a Twitter thing.
Is it funny when you call me Greg Gustins? Is that funny to you?
I think that's really funny. I think it's always been funny, and I think it's always going to be funny.
I don't find it funny. Hey, Slurms, I don't want to weigh in on this because I have a lot of thoughts that I'm saving
for the
proper moment in time.
For what?
Can't say. He talks about the Lightning's approach at the trade deadline.
Oh, I thought you were talking. Okay, hold on a second. Slurms had two comments. I thought you were saying you had jersey thoughts that you're saying.
I do not care about jerseys.
I know you don't. Well, guess what,
no thoughts,
brother?
On jerseys.
A lot of your audience does. I hate to break it to you.
That's fine. I think that's great. I am happy everyone else does. I was responding. He said, are we, you know, what the Lightning do every year? You look at the trade they made for Janot, it looks like an overpay.
Mm-hmm.
I am not willing to say it is, because what people forget is you're not just acquiring the player, you're acquiring the cap space. That's what they're doing. So there's a price to be paid. These are not overpays. They're actually really smart what the Lightning do year after year after year. And I'm surprised more teams that are squeezed against the cap don't do it, because the Lightning end up fielding a team, if you add up the actual players worth year after year in the playoffs, worth way more than the cap. They're super smart in Tampa. So I guess I lied. I do have thoughts on it. I don't think they lose the trade deadline ever. I think they win it every year, including this year. They won it by a landslide.
Yeah, I can't imagine what project this is going to come up with for regarding. Okay.
It's going to be really good.
Totally. I'm sure. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
I love the process. I love the idea. I understand the concept of acquiring cap space along with a player. People just have a problem with Tanner Janot as a player. That's it. Like, that's like the question is whether he does having Tanner Janot on your hockey team make you better? And that's the debate. And that's what people are going to be debating for the rest of this season and for the next couple is like, would you be better off, you know, going and getting someone else? Like, does Tanner Janot make your team better? And I think based on the way he's played this season, you know, he's been good for the Lightning. And I don't want to rag on that. And I'm trying to walk the line here, honestly, because like, I conceptually, I love it. Like, this is like the fact that they just keep doing it. And like Slurm said, you know, like Nick Paul last year, perfect addition. Barkley Goodrow is a turns into a hero and signs a gazillion dollars with the Rangers, thus negating some of the value that he brought to the Lightning's lineup because he was cheap and whatever else. But I think Slurm's core question is like, do you really want to say they lost the trade so quickly? And like, no, certainly not.
I think they won the trade.
I'm more inclined to think.
I'm not mad at Nashville. Like, David Poile has to do that trade.
Poile breaks his fingers trying to call that one in, right? Like you do whatever it takes. You throw desks out of the way and like phone that one in before the offer vanishes, because it's unbelievable and it's a perfect trade for Nashville for sure. But that doesn't inherently mean that, you know, Tampa lost it either. So all these people, like Slurms has picked the wrong boys. Hashtag Tuesday Boys Tuesdays. When it comes to this, because I think we're both on board. Like, we're both lightning pilled, yeah. Both of us still. Like for better yeah. or worse. So
happy anniversary to John Cooper. 10 years. Reed Joe Smith.
How about that, man?
10 years. So let me tell a quick story. All producer Jeff said was, hey, let's keep that last segment tight.
The only reason he said that is because you have a call that you need to get on.
45 minutes.
Who cares?
John Cooper gets called up from the AHL and is staying at that Marriott right by the rink. I get sent to Tampa I was at ESPN the magazine at the time for a week. This was like magazine heyday to talk to Stephen Stamkos. It was just like, I had a 300 word story to write or whatever. Actually, the real story was we were doing a first person story. Stephen Stamkos was writing a letter to his younger self, which ties in a little bit with what Brianna Decker was. It was actually a really good thing in the mag. Anyways, so John Cooper, who I'd only spoken to on the phone, we're both in the same hotel. And I'm like, and he's just like, hey, let's go grab a beer. And we just, like, it was like hanging out with somebody you knew. And I know everyone says this about John Cooper, but it was like, it was incredible. Yeah. I'm like, this guy is amazing. I hope he never changes. And he's won a bunch of cups and he's been highly successful. And it's easy to see why, because I would have loved to play for him. Like, he just seems like somebody that understands the leadership motivation side and has kept that team together. And of course, he's loaded, you know, that team's loaded, but I think he's been the perfect coach for that team. And you know, it was just really cool to kind of be in that moment in time with him as you saw this career about to skyrocket. And I could have predicted it. I'm sure I did. Whatever podcast I was recording that week. Not with Sean Gentile.
No, certainly not. I think he's one of those guys, and I think of this in terms of actors a lot of the time, where you see guys who have to grind it out for a few years. And it takes a while for them to get famous. Maybe they don't get their big break until they're in their 30s or whatever. Pedro Pascal comes to mind, right? Like, he... You know, he's like everybody's favorite dude right now because of his success in The Mandalorian and because of The Last of Us and all, like, whatever. But that guy got well into his career before he broke. He had a bunch of small, thankless, you know, pointless kind of roles where he was just dude number five in a movie, right? But now he's at his break and he's just this grateful, personable, charismatic, you know, delightful dude who everybody seems to like. And I think that, and I always, that's sort of the print, and I've heard actors talk about this, like whether on podcasts or whatever, but it's like, if you struggle a little bit, you're better off for it. And if you don't find success when you're 19 or 22 or 24, and if you have to shovel shit for a few years, then you're better off for it down the line. It turns you into a better, more well-rounded, more interesting person because you haven't just been like in the actor rabbit hole for your entire adult life, right? And that's this kind of principle that I always think of with guys like Cooper, who are, you know, of course he was a smart dude and a successful dude, but he was not, you know, a particularly, you know, he had to grind it out in the hockey world till he's pretty far into his career. Right. And that's always what I think of when we talk about,
if you're a lawyer trying to become an NHL coach, you have to earn everything you get. Like there was
totally
nothing handed to John Cooper.
100%.
So that takes a while.
He wasn't coming from the world of, you know, the pipeline that we see with so many coaches where it's like they play juniors and then they're pros. And then after pros, they get into maybe do a little bit of announcing or maybe they go into like player development. And then before you know it, they're head coaches and whatever. John Cooper is an adult with real life experiences that were not tethered to hockey in any way at all. And I think that comes through with the way he speaks. And I think it comes through with the way he deals with people because that guy had to do other shit for years until he got his big break as a coach. And that's something that I always think of when you see him, like when you talk to him or when you see him talk to others, like I'm like, this guy had to figure it out as a human being before he figured it out as a hockey coach. And I think there's something to be said for that.
This concludes Lightning Hour, the third segment.
The Pedro Pascal, John Cooper comparison that you didn't know you needed today. Congratulations, everybody. We did it.
They're doing good things down there. Michael K is wondering, how many shows can I actually make in a row? Because this is I got a bit of a Ripken streak going right now. This is like, what do I, three or four? No, because we missed the NHL TMs. We skipped a week.
I don't know if that one counts. I feel like if you count shows that you and I did together, we're on a good little streak. Well, and guess what?
Guess what, Michael K? I'm out next week. Sorry.
Max is in.
Max is in.
We'll see how that goes.
Can I ask this one? I think this is Slurms, but there was a couple references to this. You were a little hard on Fanatics, Sean. I thought you were.
Did they get to you too?
Me? They get to me? No, they didn't. I don't. I have no opinion. But Slurms, and the question is there anything they can do to make this right?
Stop selling jerseys for $150 that shrink in, you know, crack and fall apart in the wash. That's it. Make better shit. It's the solution. And we'll see it. We'll see if it happens. Guess what? Got a lot of time to see if it works out or not. We'll see what Fanatics looks like in 5 or 6 years.
I just want to say welcome back to Caleb B. It's been a minute since he's listened and he's enjoying it. So thanks.
Craig's voice is the stuff of legends, he says. That's true. Old Velvet Pipes Customs. The comments this week also turned into a referendum on the way I pronounce certain words, which I think was kind of inevitable because I've had some issues over the last couple of weeks, let's say.
What was the word you butchered a couple weeks ago? I can't remember.
And it was like, it was something
seismic.
Seismic. Yeah. I blame that on being a regionalism, which is not true, but it's just me not knowing how to say something. But in my defense, 9 times out of 10, if I mispronounce something, it is because I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania, which is just hermetically sealed from the rest of the world for however long and developed its own weird, incorrect kind of linguistic tics. So I'll blame that. Okay. The one specifically that Nick P said, and this was, again, also just a mistake that I made. It's Mikhail Granlund, who plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins and who has played for the Nashville Predators and Minnesota Wild for years. I had broken myself of the habit of calling him Michael or Mikhail. The correct way to say it is Mikhail. And for whatever reason, like I just backslid last week and called him Michael Granlund. And I hate it. I hate, like, we can sit here and joke about, you know, mispronouncing seismic or whatever. I hate mispronouncing Lancaster. People's names. Well, Lancaster's well,
that's
correct,
different.
By the way.
That's different. That's different. Like, there's regional things. Even, so, you know, like, yeah.
Chris J., by the way, like, for the record, but before we even go further into that, Chris J. says, Sean is pronouncing Lancaster the proper Lancaster County way. So props to that, because far too many do not. So I was correct about that. But Mikhail okay, Granlund and seismic, regional. Absolutely not. Okay. But I hate screwing up people's names, because people screw up my name and it drives me crazy. It's like a very disrespectful thing to like knowingly mispronounce someone's name or not care enough to figure it out. So I do feel bad. I hate doing it.
That's, I mean, don't be so hard on yourself. I don't. Jeez.
I threw up after the record last week. If you want to know the truth. Sick.
I'm going to end unless you have anything else to add.
No.
It's worth noting, Shayna has a podcast, Too Many Men. We can plug that, because mm-hmm. we're trying to trade us for her constantly. Adam B., I think we'll give Adam B. the last word. So Gary conducted a survey, and it told him that many fans don't mind Fanatics and maybe even love them. So, you know I'm on Team Gary.
Can't wait for those Fanatics jerseys to skate past the electronic board ads, baby. It's just a dream scenario for some of the NHL's focus group participants, yes.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Athletic Hockey Show on YouTube, where Sean and I are perfectly normal and not stiff at all as we try to keep our heads within the three skinny screens.
Guys being normal.
That's the name of our YouTube show. I thought
this is actually, this is actually
okay.
This is actually a normal way to sit. Katie did great.
The YouTube is growing on me. So subscribe to that. Give it a follow or whatever. Smash the button. Also, hey, $1 per month for 12 months of The Athletic. This is, if you go to theathletic.com/hockeyshow, HOCKEY, in case you weren't sure how to spell hockey. I don't know how you spelled that. It's in all caps on the reading thing. I'm like, I'm turning it around.
Sounds like the first time you spelled it out loud, honestly.
Hockey? I almost got it wrong. This offer stands until the end of the month, which is not that far away.
Nope.
We got 3 days. We're back next week with, I mean, we aren't. Sean and guest co-hosts. Is it Maximilian? I don't think that's right. Why are we putting big names in
there? It's Maxwell.
Maximilian
<That's okay.
laughs> Baltman. Max Baltman. Maxwell. Maximilian.
Maximus.
That's it. Maximus. Enjoy the show. He's the best. One of these days we'll just hand him the thing. Have a great... thanks to producer Jeff for lining up Brianna Decker. And thanks to Brianna Decker for appearing. Great conversation. Happy New Year, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye.